want to go ahead and open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew 19. And we're starting on a new series today. And I'm not 100% sure how far it's going to go. When I was praying about this, I normally get a direction. I get like this whole thing just do, you know? It didn't happen this time when I was praying about this. The word that I felt like the Lord said for our next tithes and offerings series is never give up. Say never give up. Say it again. Say it again. One more time. Never give up. When you're an athlete and you're trying to obtain something in your life as an athlete, there are times that you're going to go through where it's going to be tough. Your muscles are going to hurt. I remember when I was in volleyball, I'm not very tall, in case you hadn't noticed, but I loved volleyball. I loved volleyball. And I had to work extra hard. I was on JV until my senior year. And my senior year, I wasn't even sure I was going to make it. And I went to a small school. But I worked extra hard on my serve. Because how many people know that when you're in volleyball, and if you can ace your serve, that means it goes over the net and they can't return it, you play. And so I would work to the point where my hand, I used to do this thing with my hand. I trained with a coach one time at a camp, and he was telling me to make my hand like an iron rod. He said, get it to where you're, nothing moves on this hand at all, so that when you serve and you hit, nothing moves. So I would, oh my goodness, you guys, every chance I had to grab a volleyball and to practice my serving, I would do that. And a lot of it came with putting it up, ba-boom, putting it up, ba-boom, putting up, ba-boom. And I would just slam it over and over and over in the ground to where sometimes after a game, it would be really hard to get my wrist to bend. It was that solid of my muscles. But I remember when I first started, my wrist hurt like nothing else. It's like you could feel every muscle. I'm like, I didn't even know there were muscles where I was hurting, right? But I didn't give up, and I perfected my serve so much so that that's what my coach said. That's why you're going to make varsity this year is your serve. I'm going to put you in the back row and call you a back row specialist, but really what I need is I need your serve. I didn't care. I made varsity, right? And I could serve the ball so hard. And so it was like this, I don't know how to describe it. It was like this tap that you would hit it with all your might, but you'd pull back. And so it would float. And it would just go at the last minute. It would just dive. And it would be right in front of people, even as they're going up to, you know, return the ball. Anyway, it was amazing. But there was a process. 4 years. I didn't make varsity my freshman year. I didn't make varsity my sophomore year. I didn't make varsity my junior year. And I really wasn't convinced I'd make varsity my senior year, but I never gave up. Sometimes there are going to be times in our lives financially where you're going to try it 1 year, you're going to try it the next year, you're going to try it the next year, and you're going to feel like, am I ever going to make it? Am I ever going to get there financially where the Lord has showed me to be? You know what the answer is? Yes, if you never give up. If you look in Matthew 19:26, it says this. Oh, actually, I wrote it on my card. But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. He was stating the facts. And sometimes we have to state the facts. In the natural, this is impossible. Looking at my checkbook, this is impossible. Because what part of a scripture are we? Man. We're man, right? With us, it is impossible. But with God, aren't you so glad for conjunctions? But with God, all things are possible. With man, it may look impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What does that mean? It means God takes our natural, like Pastor Steve was saying, our natural, and he adds his super to it, so it becomes supernatural. Amen? No, amen? That means in a moment, You could be going over and over and over all the things that you know to do and doing your due diligence in your finances, and all of a sudden something supernatural happens in your life. Amen? In 1 year, we had enough money come in. He was a pastor and I was a stay-at-home mom. Our income was very, very limited. We did not have a lot. But we had gotten into a house by the grace of God and the help of my brother. Because God uses people, right? But we had a second mortgage that was really, 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 really holding us back. It was really hard, very difficult. But we kept praying, and we kept tithing, and we kept sowing. And we kept praying, and we kept tithing, and we kept sowing. And we kept praying, and we kept tithing, and we kept sowing. And in 1 year, all of our second mortgage was gone, and we had a surplus to buy a motorhome. What? How did you do that? We didn't. God did. God moved and worked. And you know what? He doesn't just do things one time. He doesn't just do things two times. He does it all the time, because there is a law called sowing and reaping. And if you sow, then you will reap. Amen? So when you're in the midst of something, don't give up. No matter what it looks like in your finances, don't give up. Because you have no idea what it's going to look like when you reach the top. None. Look at this guy right here. Do you think he can see the top? Absolutely not. There's like a cliff that's going above him, right? So he gives up. Well, there's a wall. No, he doesn't give up, because he understands that he has to keep climbing. He has to keep scaling this wall in order to see the top. And if he doesn't give up, he will see it. And you can already tell from the background, it's going to be a spectacular view, right? Well, I can tell you from experience, when you reach the top, it is a spectacular view. But don't stop there. There are other mountains. There are other places that God wants to take you that you've never been before. So you may be sitting there going, well, I'm doing great. I'm doing fabulous financially. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, but don't stop there. Why? Because we got missions programs that are not fully funded. Because we've got organizations that we want to bless and seed that we want to sow as a church, and you should be grabbing hold of that as well and saying, God, this is awesome, but I'm planting more seed for a bigger harvest, say it with me, so I can be blessed to be a blessing. Amen? And you may go, wow, that's impossible. You're right. If it's just you, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? So grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you for this new series that we've begun today. Never give up. Never give up. Father, this is a day and age where it can feel overwhelming at times. Going to the grocery store, paying bills, it can feel overwhelming. But help us not to see these things in the natural. We can face the facts that with us it's impossible, but with you. And that's what I pray we'd remember in every situation financially as we go through this week, that we'd remember we're not going through this situation or this issue in our life financially alone. As children of God, as tithers, you are right there with us. And there are so many promises that you have given us, Father, of the windows of heaven opening up, of people pouring out a blessing we can't contain, of good shaken running together will men give unto our bosom, Father, a wealth with no sorrow. It's endless, Father, the promises that you have given us. And I pray that this week, especially this week, when we look at our finances and our checkbooks, God, that we would not see the natural, we would see the supernatural. And Father, I pray that we would praise you for everything that you have done in the past, knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, just like you have done amazing miracles in the past in our finances, God, you're going to do them today, and you're going to do them tomorrow. We praise you, Father, today for your faithfulness. Bless every seed that is sown. Encourage and strengthen the sower today to stop looking at their field that looks like there is nothing there but dirt. Remind them, Father, that there is seed in the ground and you're already working underground where they cannot see on the harvest that is coming. We praise you for this today in advance, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing for a couple more Sundays on this message entitled, The Blessings of Liberty. Hallelujah. And our foundation text has been Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And in fact, let's just turn there in our Bibles for just a minute. Galatians chapter 5. We did this, I think, last week or the week before. And I just want to read a few of the surrounding verses around that text, because it applies. I want us to hear it in terms of our nation. Hallelujah. I'm going to start at verse 6 and read up through verse 13. Actually, let's go to verse 5. For we through the Spirit, somebody say through the Spirit. How are we going to get anything done for God? Somebody say through the Spirit. Yeah, there's work involved. Shelley was sharing about that amazing financial breakthrough we had years back. And yeah, there was stuff happening in the Spirit, but I also went to work every day. How many know if you just think everything's in the Spirit and you just get, you know, some people get that way in the faith movement especially. Well, I'm just going to quit my job and believe God. Well, then you're about to lose everything. Well, yeah, but God's going to do, yeah, but he gave you feet, he gave you arms, he gave you legs, he gave you a brain. He expects me to use what I got. Somebody say, use what you got. Yeah, do it in faith. Be listening to God. But there's a spiritual thing happening, but I also got to go to work every day. Amen. Praise his name forevermore. It's a partnership with the Lord. I do my part. Everybody say, I do my part. I got my part to do. And he has his part. Amen. In Bible story after Bible story, if you read this Bible, you'll see people have a part. When Jesus was born, right? The angel appeared to Mary. And she said, yes, let's do it. But then there was things she had to do, right? They had to load up that donkey. And Joseph and her had to march for, I think it was like 90 miles. I mean, how many know it? The faith message isn't everything's easy. Amen? Because there is a devil trying to shut it down. There are demonic forces and issues and spiritual beings out there trying to stop what God wants to do. Always have for millenniums. Amen? And so we need to remember this. Shelley and I were talking about this again recently with this ministry, with this church. Right? We just celebrated our 12th anniversary, and I was just thinking this past week, we've been in this building now for a third of that time. How quickly things go. But just the reminder of what we're doing is we're doing things in the natural, but really this is a supernatural thing that God is doing. Amen? So here we go. We through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Somebody say, by faith. By faith. How are we going to get anything done for God? By faith. Faith is required. Faith is the currency of heaven. Amen? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith. Somebody say, faith. Working. Ah. Wait a second, I thought I just had to believe. No, there's work to do. Faith working through love. If we lose the love, we've lost everything. Amen? So while there's faith, we got to remember faith needs to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Why do we go to church? Because that's what I do on Sunday. No. I go to church because I love Jesus. And I love his family. Amen? And because church is church was God's idea, not a man's idea. Amen. Faith working through love. Now listen to this in terms of our nation. Verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So the church I'm talking about, allowing a little sin here and there. Now we've got churches that are putting, you know, woke symbols on their signs. You know, the rainbow flag and all that kind of stuff. That's straight up evil, man. If anybody noticed, you know, the Olympic ceremony, there were some dark stuff that they did. And Paris just issued an apology this morning for taking, you know, cross-dressing transvestites and reenacting the Lord's Supper and putting that out there for the whole world to see. And Paris just issued an apology. Lacey just showed me on Instagram. Paris is sorry if we offended anyone with that image. Like, now, the world, we have to have some more leniency for the world. But when the church, I'm talking to the church, when Christians don't get that, that's where it really gets nutty, man. And that's, hallelujah, right? So Christians, we need to get this stuff. We need to know what the Word of God says concerning everything. How many know the Bible has answers for every issue in this life? Whether it's sexuality, whether it's business, whether it's the economy, whether it's borders. It's all right here. Amen. So as a church, we need to be getting after it. Hallelujah. You ran well. Who hindered you? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Persuasion. Don't you know the devil is very, very persuasive? He's a snake oil salesman. Right? The Bible calls the devil an angel of light. He doesn't come with a pitchfork and red horns and... No. Very slick, very, very persuasive, right? So as Christians, we need to be the sheep that know the shepherd's voice. Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus is my shepherd. A stranger's voice I will not follow. Amen? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will have no other mind. Somebody say, no other mind. But he who troubles you, see, I remember Pastor Keith Moore. I love how he says this. He says a lot of people will tell Christians, you're just so narrow-minded. And he says the answer to that is yes, and saved. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Wide is the gate. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Amen? So we're simply saying, what is it that you want? Do you want life or destruction? There's different roads. Amen? I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Did you know the cross, the message of the gospel, is offensive to some people? And if it stops being offensive, there's no power in it anymore. Right? I don't know about you, but just following Jesus day to day, sometimes I find out more about him, and it's like, ow. He's the Holy Spirit, you know? He's like a coach. Right? And sometimes he checks us. Hey, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking right now, you need to nip it. Really? Why? And we come back to the Word, right? Amen. The offense of the cross has ceased. He says, brethren, if I still preach uncircumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Somebody say, keep with the cross. Keep with the gospel. Amen. I remember years ago when a lot of the Christian musicians were going secular. They were going to the world side because there was money in it and this kind of stuff or whatever. That's between them and God. And Carmen, remembers Carmen from back in the day, went to heaven years ago, bold preacher of the gospel. And they came to him and they said, Carmen, are you going to cross over too? And he says, well, if I ever cross over, I'm taking the cross over. Hallelujah, right? So we got to be people that just stick with the simplicity of the gospel. Sin is bad, God is good. Devil bad, God good. Amen? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And this is not a complicated thing. But see, the devil and religion, and that, it just complicates things. It makes things very complex. And, oh, you know what? You need a PhD to really understand that. No, you don't. A child can understand this. Amen. I could wish that those who would trouble you would even cut themselves off. And I believe that's what we're seeing in America right now, is those people who are persisting in their wickedness are going to just simply be cutting themselves off. Right? God gives people time to repent. But just like the ocean, I love going to the beach. Why does the ocean not just keep coming? Because God said, this is how far you go. Your proud waves stop here. And that's what he's doing with just wickedness and evil, is he's saying, you know what? You have this much more time to repent. Otherwise, game over. I mean, this is serious business. And again, coming back to the world is one thing, but we're talking a lot about Christians and believers who have gotten sucked into all of that stuff by the persuasiveness of the snake oil salesman, and they need to come back. They need to come back to Jesus. Amen? So this is what we're praying for, believing God for. And if we're seeing Christians returning to God, the awakening of the church coming back to Jesus, then we'll see changes in this nation, which we are seeing, by the way. Amen? Somebody obviously told Paris, hey! Because they issued an apology to the whole planet. So somebody somewhere of influence said, that ain't cool, man. What you just did, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus forever. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Somebody say, I'm called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So that's our foundation text for this message. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty. Do not use liberty. How many times have I heard Christians say things like, well, I'm born again, I got the blood of Jesus, so therefore I'm free to fill in the blank. Like it's a blank check. The blood of Jesus, the grace of God, so I can live this way, I can do whatever I want to do. No, you can't. No, we can't. The grace of God is not his Visa card for Steve to go ahead and go out and sin as much as he wants. It's on the card. It's on the card. Just put it on the card. Somebody say, that ain't what grace is. Grace means divine influence. Somebody say, divine influence. Is he influencing me to go do evil? No, that's called sinfluence. Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's a definition from the concordance of grace. So in other words, we got to stop taking Jesus and trying to make him look more like us. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not a Jesus that looks more like me. It's me becoming more like him. I was watching Brother Copeland, I think it was last week's message in Eagle Mountain International Church. He's a a prophet of God, right? And he called his physical, he stays in good shape, and he's like almost 90. And he called his trainer up, and he goes, "Hey, I want you to meet the guy that makes my legs hurt." He's like trying to stay in shape. And he points this guy, this buff dude, you know, he's like a Latino guy, loves Jesus with all his heart. And he brings him up there and he goes, "This is the guy I want to look like someday." And immediately his trainer says, "No, no, no, I want to be more like you." Isn't that good? The idea isn't that Jesus looks more like me, it's that I look more like him. Now that's the power of using God's liberty appropriately. Amen? Bring freedom to people. Bring freedom to people. The cross is the symbol of freedom. He laid his life down so I could be free. And it also works for nations. Amen? We've been called to liberty, and we don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love we serve one another. In the first paragraph, we've got to march here. The first paragraph of the Constitution, we've been really laying hold of God in terms of believing him to continue to do changes in our nation. Righteous changes. Hallelujah. And we're not a church that backs away or shies away from talking about this kind of stuff because it's where we're living. Amen? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, this is the first opening statement of the Constitution, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. Somebody say, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. So in other words, liberty is something that needs to be protected, not taken lightly. Amen? Liberty is defined as freedom, unrestrained, to be a citizen, not a slave. A citizen, somebody say, "I'm a citizen, not a slave." And it's interesting that the people that talk about wide open borders are enslaving people simultaneously by the millions. That's what all the trafficking, all that is modern day slavery. And it's the result of no borders. Amen. Citizenship has with it corresponding responsibilities. Amen. Not just a free-for-all. Freedom doesn't mean free-for-all. Do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. That's like anarchy. And we're hearing a lot of Marxist agendas and communist agendas and just stuff that does not come from the Word of God or from our Constitution. It was not the original intent of our founding fathers. Amen? Now, I've been in this class called Biblical Citizenship for a number of weeks now. This is from Patriot Academy. Rick Green, Biblical Citizenship, good search. These workbooks are like $20, and you can go online, you can register to either be in a class, or you can actually order the DVDs that go through it, the corresponding, there's like 8 classes, and I've been just doing one a week. In the back of it, they actually have the Constitution in it. One side is as it reads, and the other side is the Constitution made easy. It's like the message version. So, you know, it's very helpful to see the words. And you see, like I said, you see where the Word of God was the foundation. And the men and women that began this country were not atheists or agnostics. They loved God. And they loved liberty. And they loved freedom, obviously. And freedom, by the way, it's not something, even George Washington said this, we want to get this going and share it with the whole world, because freedom is not an American thing, freedom is a Jesus thing. I shared a minute ago, I was in a business meeting this past week, and this very successful businessman, who obviously is a person of faith, even though he kind of doesn't come right out with it, because he's got people from all over the planet, There were like people from Sri Lanka, people from Lithuania, people from Asia, people from, I mean, all over the planet in this Zoom call that are working his business plan. And he opened up for questions at the end. And they were like, where do you get the concept of, the one of the concept is giver's gain, be generous. Give, somebody say giver's gain. What does that sound like to you? Sow and reap. And where do you get these concepts? He didn't come out and say the Bible, but it's the Bible where this man is getting these concepts. And the thing that's interesting is it doesn't just work in the United States. There's people in Sri Lanka, India, Lithuania who are getting the concepts of capitalism in their region of the world and using it. And it's working. Why does it work? Because it's not an American thing. It's a God thing. Freedom, somebody say, freedom is a God thing. But our nation has been one of the greatest experiments of freedom in the history of the world because of faith in God. Somebody say, because of faith in God. Because of people who aren't using liberty as a license. Now, has our nation done wrong things? Of course. Has there been mistakes? Has there been blemishes? Absolutely, because there's human beings involved. But we come back to the foundation here. Somebody say, come back to the foundation. Right? So this particular class this week was the subject of religious liberty. Somebody say, religious liberty. And I'm just going to share with you some of the highlights that I picked up out of the class. Said the five fundamental freedoms in the First Amendment of the Constitution are religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. So the freedom of religion is one of the five fundamental freedoms in the First Amendment of the Constitution. And when you think about speech, when you think about freedom of the press, how many know the press has been very much under press to say what they're told to say? Right? And praise God, there are people, Tucker Carlson is a good example, who just is a true journalist. And you can tell, if he wasn't before, he's becoming a person of faith. Praise God for courage. Amen? Hallelujah. The First Amendment, one of the statements in the First Amendment says this, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So Congress cannot come in and tell you you can't have church anymore. They can't put laws out there that shut churches down. And the big thing here is, we'll touch on this again in a minute, they were very concerned about having another Church of England, where it was a nationally recognized denomination. And man, that caused a lot of harm, a lot of evil, right? So they were saying the Congress cannot take one denomination and say, this is our national denomination, because that will cause problems, right? Okay, here's a question for you, class. Where in the Constitution is the phrase separation of church and state? Anyone? You're right. It's nowhere. And yet people use that to say, you know, the church ought not be talking about such things as this in the church. And Christians even buy into that. Oh, okay, well, I just need to have my little church world, and I can't take my little church world and apply it to medicine. I can't take it and apply it to science. I can't take it and apply it to education. Certainly can't take it and apply it to politics or athletics or entertainment. Somebody say, that is bogus. That's not in the old English, but that's bogus. Right? No, as a person of faith, you take your faith wherever you go. You take your faith. Somebody say, I take my faith wherever I go. To the grocery store, to the mall, to school, to work, home. Hallelujah. Faith was not just made to have a little meeting and then you go out and live the rest of your life. Shh, quiet about that. Shh. Hush. don't want to offend anybody. No, 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 no. That ain't what this is about. The phrase separation of church and state appears in a letter from Thomas Jefferson. Uh-oh, see, there you go. Founding father said it. Well, let's find out what he meant, right? How many know a lot of this is just finding out what they meant? Isn't the devil really good about taking things someone says and twisting it to his advantage? That's why we can't just hear anything that is said on social media or, you know, the news and just be like, oh, that's the truth. You shouldn't hear everything the minister says. You should look into it. Hallelujah, right? The phrase appears, separation, in a letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists, assuring them that government would not infringe on their freedom of religion. So see, separation of church and state is to keep the government from controlling the church. And they are separate entities. Yeah, government is an entity, the church is an entity, business is an entity, but they all kind of like the Olympic circles, they should all interconnect. Amen. Hallelujah. James Madison said that the intent, somebody say intent, that's really what we're looking for, right? The intent of the First Amendment was to prevent a single national denomination like the Church of England. There you go. Which caused all kinds of problems. That's why they were leaving that place. Because they were controlling everything. And we did see some of that influence try to happen here, didn't we? Killing Indians in the name of Jesus. Burning crosses on African Americans' front yard. Evil, man. Evil in the name of Jesus. Hitler in the name of God. No, that's not in the name of God. Not the God of the Bible. Amen. Liberty working through what? Love. Somebody say, where's the love? Amen. Stay in love with Jesus and love your fellow man. And David Barton was talking about, in this country, we'll put our lives down for anybody of any religion because you have the freedom in this country to believe any religion you want. He said it's a conscious thing. A right of conscience. He said, for example, David Barton said this. For example, the Jehovah's Witness will refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance, not because they hate America, but because they will pledge allegiance to nobody but God. And we should respect their right to do that. He said, a good Catholic may refuse to be involved in selling birth control because of conscience' sake. Right? So conscience. The government cannot control your conscience. He said that's a lot of the reason why since 1640 or something people began coming here was so we could think and believe freely according to our own consciences. Your conscience is your own personal property. Hallelujah. Religion, this is what Governor Morris said, one of the signers of the Constitution. Religion is the only solid basis of good morals. Therefore, education should teach the precepts of religion and the duties of man toward God. Now listen to this. 2 days after writing the phrase separation of church and state, Thomas Jefferson attended the weekly church service held at the U.S. Capitol, where these were religious services that he had helped to start and faithfully attended throughout the remainder of his presidency. So see, we can't take our forefathers and paint them like agnostics or, you know, people who don't believe God even exists. That's just not true. James Wilson, another signer of the Constitution, said this, human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters, friends and mutual assistants. Indeed, these two sciences run into each other. So to say faith doesn't belong in the Supreme Court or in any court is ridiculous. Or in Congress, the halls of Congress, or in the Oval Office, or in a classroom in a public school, ridiculous. Somebody say ridiculous. That's why all these crazy problems are happening, because faith has been removed. Right? But I got something to tell you. Faith was removed from the church far before it got removed from the classroom. Amen? So as believers, what we got to get busy doing? Getting faith back in, right? Faith back in us, in ourselves. Starting in 1640, the top issue that brought people to America was the right of conscience. You can't control what I believe or what I think about. I heard in some of the technology now, there's so much last day stuff going on. I mean, that's another thing we have to remember. Shelley reminds me of this often. Honey, these are the last days. The rapture is about to happen, right? And there's technology now where they can put a computer chip in someone's brain and they can control their phone out of their mind, right? And it's made for it was amazing technology, and made for quadriplegics and that kind of thing. But they're saying that they can now, if they wanted to, they can actually tell what you're thinking about. And isn't it interesting that in the book of Revelation, it talks about a mark will be given to those on their forehead or in their hand, and in order to buy or sell. A few years ago, that sounded like sci-fi. Not anymore. They can know where your car is. They can know where your phone is. They know where some animals are, right, by putting the little chip in them. Why not just put it in humans? That way, for your safety, it's just setting up. It's the setting of the stage for the tribulation period and all this kind of stuff. But while we're here, somebody say, while we're here, we need to keep fighting for the truth, keep preaching the gospel, keep preaching the cross, keep praying and believing God to just keep moving things the right direction. Because I'll tell you this, now a lot of the church doesn't believe this, many do, you know, it's biblical, but the only way the devil is going to have his way and set up the Antichrist and the whole tribulation period, the church has to be removed from the planet. That's called the rapture. The church, somebody say this, the church is the restraining force. If you haven't noticed, who are they all hating on? The church. Faith people. Oh, you guys are so narrow-minded. I heard Kamala Harris say the other day, we've got to stop thinking. This is all based on the past. We've got to move in toward the future. The future, the past. This is. I'm filling in the blanks. Okay, I'm reading in, but this, you'll hear many people say, this is old fashioned. This is racist. This is holding us back. If you keep believing this, you're a part of the problem, not a part of the answer. You are divisive. Jesus didn't say he's going to bring everybody together. He said, I bring a sword. Right? So as Christians, we need to have this thing called Holy Ghost backbone, where I'm not moving from my faith. I love you, whoever you are out there. I love you. I don't want you to go to hell, but I'm sure not following you there or promoting your agenda on children, lying to children, mutilating children so that I don't offend you. Oh, no, 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 no. Somebody say no. That's why it's so great when we see Americans that put their life on the line nowadays. Mr. Trump the other day getting the attempted assassination, right? Getting up and fist in the air, fight, right? Elon Musk the other day told the state of California, because you're doing this to children, because you told schools, we want you to hide the transgender stuff. Hide it. Don't tell anybody. Because you did that, Elon Musk said this, because you did that, I'm taking SpaceX and my business efforts out of California. That's moxie, man. I love that, don't you? When righteousness, I'm not moving. Doesn't mean these people aren't human beings and have imperfections, but that's the kind of backbone God is looking for. Hallelujah. That's the kind of moxie. When you put a child's well-being before your business efforts, I salute you. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Right? James Madison called conscience the most sacred of property. And that's what we're hearing right now. We've all got to just be thinking the same way, doing the same things. We've all got to be, you know, we're hearing this. And that's what the voice of the Antichrist says. We're all coming together. We saw a taste of it during the COVID stuff. Just all these things dividing the country. The vaccination thing was, what we have, President Biden said this, what we have is a pandemic among the non-vaccinated. What did that do? It drove a wedge between people based on if you got a shot or not. And that's just one little example, right? It's just the devil being the devil. Amen. Free, somebody say, you are free. Your conscience belongs to you. Hallelujah. Nobody can tell you what to think or what to believe. You are here today, right here in this room, because you chose to be here. Nobody told you you had to be here. I'm sure not telling you you have to be here. I like your choice to be here, right? Amen. Glory to God forevermore. I want to close with a couple of quotes here. I know we've gone over a little bit, but, you know, we got a country to rescue, right? I want to read you some quotes. I got to put on my specs because this is in italics and Old English. George Washington said this. This is in regards to freedom of conscience, okay? We should be very cautious of violating the rights of conscience in others. I mean, this is why they left, man. Church of England saying everybody does this, the king and all that, right? Ever considering that God alone is the judge of the hearts of men, and to him only they are answerable. That's from George Washington. William Livingston, another Constitution signer, he said this, for what business in the name of common sense, has anyone noticed common sense missing in a lot of this stuff, right? That's why I love President Trump's, you know, they made some changes in the Republican platform, and it was basically truth, justice, and common sense. Thank you. You know, somebody say common sense, right? For what business in the name of common sense has the magistrate with our religion? The state does not have any concern in the matter. In what manner does it affect society? In what outward form we think it is best to pay our adoration to God? The consciences of men are not the objects of human legislation. In contrast with this spiritual tyranny, I love that term, spiritual tyranny, right? How beautiful. Now, listen. God says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He also says, I put life and death in your hands. And he tells you, I'd choose life. But he's not choosing for anyone. So what right does a government institution have? Right? God is pro-choice. I'm not talking about right to life. I'm talking about he is pro-choice. I can choose to live or die eternally. I can choose to go to heaven or choose to go to hell. It's my choice. He did everything he's going to do to get me to heaven. made the way, gave me an open invitation, has nothing to do with my nationality or the pigmentation of my skin or my education or my wallet. No, it's an open invitation to all of humanity, right? But he's not making the choice for anyone. So what right has government to do that? Somebody say zero. Hallelujah, right? The consciences of men are not the objects of human legislation. In contrast with this spiritual tyranny, how beautiful appears our Constitution in disclaiming all jurisdiction over the souls of men, securing by a never-to-be-repealed section the voluntary, unchecked, and moral persuasion of every person by his own self-directed communication with the Father of Spirits. Don't you love that? Self-directed communication with the Father of Spirits. Amen. God will use pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists to speak to us. But this is not a, you have to come to me through your congressman. You have to come to me through your priest. How many? We have one high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. You go to God for yourself. And it doesn't mean, like a lot of Christians are, you hide from church because, well, I don't need church. I go to God for myself. That's delusional. We need each other. We need the body of Christ. It's biblical to be, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as you see the day approaching, as is the manner of some. Keith Moore was talking to people in his church that are still watching remotely. And he said to the camera, hey, listen, you can't serve remotely. In other words, you got something you need to be doing here. He said, we should be three or four people deep at every volunteer position so people don't have to serve every single week. Right? Hallelujah. So we're not forsaking the, but as far as a communion with God, I can't have communion with God for you. You can't have communion with Jesus for me. Or for your spouse, or whatever. No, you go to him yourself. And that's the beauty of everything Jesus did, man. Hallelujah. I can't eat for you either. There was a time, my mom right here, my grandfather was watching my mom try to feed me. I was still in the high chair. I don't remember this, but I've been told this, that I was like fighting her for the spoon. And my grandfather says, he wants to feed himself. Give him the spoon. And so she said, okay. So I just started shoveling. I probably got it all over my head. But I was ready to feed myself. Somebody say, feed yourself. Get into the word for yourself. Fellowship with Jesus. He wants to be with you. Not through your pastor or through whatever. No, it's somebody say, it's one-to-one. That's the amazing thing with God, is he's able to meet with every one of us one-on-one simultaneously and bring him everything. Bring him your laundry. Just say, Lord, this is bothering me. What do I do about it? And pour your heart out to him and study the word. Hallelujah. I know we've gone over a little bit today. John Jay, as we close here, John Jay, the first Supreme Court Chief Justice. Security under our Constitution is given to the rights of conscience and private judgment. They are by nature subject to no control but that of deity, capital D. And in that free situation, they are now left. Hallelujah. The rights of conscience and private judgment. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up on our feet and we'll pray and just thank God for this time together. Thank you for the little extra there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Father God, we come before you today. We thank you for your words. And Lord, we do. We bring our consciences, our minds, our wills, our emotions, our intellect, our bodies, our spirits, and we do submit them to you. We submit our whole life to you. And as citizens of heaven and as citizens of the United States, we stand in proxy for our country. And we bring our country, we bring this land, these people, Lord, to you. And we thank you, Lord, for healing our land, cleansing and washing us of the sins of our land, the apathy, the ignorance, ignoring your commandments, doing our own thing, going our own way, hiding, sticking our head in the ground like an ostrich. Lord, we just come before you and we say we receive our forgiveness as a nation. And we come back to the original intent that you gave our founding fathers, to be one nation under God. To be salt and light in this planet. To bring about the spirit of freedom and share it with other nations, God. And we bind the enemy's efforts to steal, kill, and destroy this nation. We speak your peace and your plan, God, in these days and weeks ahead. Over these elections ahead. That the right people would be elected and the wrong people would be ejected. Especially those who would wish harm on children. In Jesus' name, we speak your power and your plan. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done in the United States, on earth as it is in heaven. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.